Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Patty Greer. She's quite an expert, say the least, on crop circles. And she has, in course of time, produced 4 full-feature documentaries without any previous interest or experience in filmmaking. Her movies focus on UFOs, crop circles, and 2012. And in the course of that, she has won 6 prestigious awards. I don't know where we really start with Patty, but welcome to the program.
Thank you. I love hearing from you again. Hello, everybody.
Right, yes. We're pleased you're with us. To say you're one of the most experienced where crop circles are concerned, I don't think is out of order. I gather from the information you gave me that you've been in the excess of inside crop circles of at least 100 or more.
I have. I'm one of those girls that can never get enough when I get over there. And when I'm crawling tired at the end of the day, if there's a new one, I crawl to it. The word expert is a funny word for me, but the word experiencer really works. And I'm even good with the word crappie. That one works too. For me, it's not about being an expert with the scientific or mathematical facts, because everybody that loves the crop circles comes from a different place in their brain where they are affected by them. Mine is like more intuitive than analytical. So expert is kind of more, I think, of that for the people that bring their little bottles and measure underground. And, you know, for me, it's more about the feeling. And I was just in the crop circles last month. Have you been in yet this summer?
Not this year, no. I have been, I think, in 2 altogether.
So you live not far from Wiltshire, or are you far?
Well, it's not far if you talk in miles, but it's not somewhere that you would go to probably just for a day. It's a fair way off.
Right.
I live on the south coast, well, almost on the south coast of England, whereas Wiltshire is sort of west of London, and a fair way out.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that most of the most amazing crop circles in the entire world every summer, and they happen everywhere in many, many countries, but the most interesting and intricate ones seem to be in Wiltshire. And they happen in, I would say, a 20 to 40 mile radius centering in the largest stone circle, or the oldest, I believe, in all of Europe, which is the Avebury Stone Circle. And out from Avebury, in one direction is Glastonbury, on another direction is Stonehenge, and it is sprinkled with sacred sites everywhere, connected by ley lines, and no coincidence that most of the crop circles have appeared on ley lines, on the ley line maps that have been made, and more than 90% of them have been sitting on top of an aquifer. So there's something about water and being in an area of sacred sites that has brought the most powerful canvas in the world to this area year after year. Wiltshire just gets gifted with all these crop circles.
Yes, and indeed, if you go back to, I think it must have been the 60s or 70s, some of the areas around there were also very hot. Where UFO sightings were concerned, it was quite a hotbed, to say the least. So it seems that it's been at its height for UFO sightings, and then you have this later period where you have all the crop circles.
Well, and the elders now in England, all over the place, they say, oh, yes, the fairy rings, we've seen them for hundreds of years, like it's common knowledge. So for them it is. For me it is.
Yes.
For anybody that has stepped in a crop circle and been moved effectively, it is. And when I hear the new group of loud hoaxers and debunkers, and they just want everybody to believe that all the crop circles are fake, and they made them all, it's the new Doug and Dave group, I have patience, but I don't put them in my films. I don't find them interesting to really discuss, so I'll stop that now. But my favorite story is that I had bumped into a group of them one night. My back was to them, drinking heavily late at the Black Horse. And they had just been out in the field making a crop circle.
A heady.
And a ball of light rushed over them, and one of the guys wet his pants, and they went running out of the field
right. And
came to drink.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I think that many people, even the crop circle hoaxer makers, the human beings out there making crop circles and doing a great job, and there are some, but I think that even they have admitted on a radio show I was listening to that even they admit that they all have seen strange beings over there late at night in the dark, when they say that no matter how dark it is, you can still see in the dark once you train your eyes. And they said they always see, like, people over there that they didn't hear crunch, crunch in the wheat to come in or leave. But they all talked about it later, and it was no coincidence.
Well, that's something I must admit I haven't heard myself. And it is one of my main interests, and I have collected quite a lot of photographs, etc., on crop circles for many years, but that is a new one on me. Now, it's probably an appropriate time to tell people how you came to have this very interesting experience in the centre of a crop circle, which you said, to use your words, that was the day your perception of reality changed. Now, there must be a good story there. Tell us about that one.
Oh, indeed. Well, in 2006, I went over the first time, but it wasn't in 2007 that I went alone with the intention of some serious healing on something that having to do with my health. And so I went over by myself and lay down in crop circles for 9 weeks. I went to the crop circles in Italy. They were dry, dead, without any life. There was no people there. Flew back to England, and it was brimming. There was a crop circle or two or three every day. There were groups going out at night doing night watch on the hills. It is alive and well, this crop circle phenomena. And there are not a lot of people, of all the people in the world, to actually go there every summer and do what we do. But those of us that do, very much like you, who communicates with Salusa. I have to say, in the whole world, how lucky are we to be pioneers? Even if people point and say, oh, there's that silly person over there that believes blah, blah, that's okay with me. You know, someday they might say, wow, I remember hearing about that 10 years ago, or whatever, but I'm not attached to outcome at all anymore. And when people have an issue with what my movies are about, because it's not my problem, I just say, wow, your perception is really of me is really none of my business. And it's happening only now that these debunkers are coming out and putting in writing, well, it's one thing to make the hoax the crop circles, but these people that try and sell things and make money off it are really blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you must be kidding. You know, to cost to fly and take these photos and whatever. You know, I feel so lucky, and I feel kind of like a child dancing in the world that I go over there every summer and play in the crop circles. So I was over there last month. I went with my boyfriend, and we shared our afternoon in the crop circles with my friend Monique from Holland. All three of us are walking in the tram line, which is the tractor line to get into the crop circles, and we were told where it was. And before we got there, my boyfriend said, I feel it, really loud, which was great because he's the most rational one. Monique and I are always in the crop circles, but he's the one that has a very solid sense of the world. And he said, I feel it right here. And I had my goosebumps had just lit up right as he was saying it. So there is a physical vortex, and Monique was like, oh, my God, me too. And I said, stop. Let's all back up. Wow, we're out of it. Now step back in. and all of us felt it, and we put our arms together, and all of us had goosebumps and hair standing up on our arms in the same moment, not even yet in the crop circle, but like 20 feet before it. So it was something noticeable physically. And this is last month, but it happens every year. And I love it that it wasn't me, the one saying, oh, I feel it, you know, cosmic moment. Instead, it was somebody else, and all three of us went, yeah, same time. So when you were in the crop circles, the two that you were in, did you feel something out of the ordinary?
I can't quite recall now. Obviously, if there had have been a big impact upon me, I would. But I did feel that it was strange. So I suppose that's an indication that there was a different type of energy there.
Mm-hmm. That's all I can really say about the crop circles.
Sorry?
What does Salusa say about the crop circles?
Oh. Over a period of time, I don't think there's been much comment on that, or if there was, it must go back quite a way that I can't recall. But, I mean, I have no doubt that they totally concur with other people who, accepting that some are fakes, would tell you that the genuine ones are laid down by space beings. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, because you will know as well as anybody else that follows this subject that UFOs have been seen moving around in fields, and there is one video that actually shows you orbs spinning around, actually making a crop circle as it was being filmed.
Yes, that is the famous Oliver's Castle footage from 1996. And when I made my first movie, this is what I'm saying. So you asked me what happened in the first crop circle.
Yes.
I want to talk about the Oliver's Castle footage because, I'll finish there. I brought that footage home to America, and I had permission to use it. And for no reason that I knew of, I said to this editor that I barely knew, run the footage backwards. He said, why? I said, I don't know. He ran it backwards. This is where the balls of light lay the field down in seconds right before your eyes. Yeah. So then I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. He said, why? I said, I don't know, just do it. And right there on film is a clear line of communication, black and white, black, white, black, white, black, white, directly between the two balls of light. It's not like film bleed. It is a direct line of communication between the two balls of light right before the field went down. Why I got to find this? I don't know. Has anybody even written me and said, oh, my God, I can't believe what you found? No. That's okay. So I stuck it at the end of an hour 20 movie, my first movie. I had no idea how to make movies or why I was even doing it. But the recent movie that I made called Crop Circles 2010 Update the Wake-Up Call, I stuck it right in the front. It's in your face right when the movie opens. This is how crop circles are made. These are the balls of light, and look how they communicate right before the field goes down. To me, it explains it like no tomorrow. But I think it is so astounding that it's almost too much for people to look at and comprehend that it could possibly be true. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
Because of how that came to me.
I did read from someone else's contact with the space beings that they use some form of microwaves to lay the circles down.
I wonder. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Right.
And if those microwaves are, I'd probably avoid them like the plague. I don't know, but I know that I'm drawn like a magnet, and I've gone every year. Mm. But this year I only went in a few and left the area and went and took my boyfriend.
Right.
We went to Europe. Most of the time it's about going to the crop circles, but the energy in that area right now is getting very, very hot and strange. Pretty much everything else with anything highly conscious or spiritually advanced lately, because this 2012 energy really is pumping things up. People are having the strangest experiences. People are also having terrible accidents where they're being forced to come clean and conscious, immediately. And that happened to me with my health issue that took me to the crop circles. But I want to go back to the first experience in the crop circle, because this was the most profound thing that I can recall in my life. I lay down in Wiltshire in a crop circle that was like a big lotus flower. And I closed my eyes. There was nobody there. And when I opened my eyes, I saw round things and curvy things as clear as the mosquitoes. And those things were moving in the sky, and there were many, many, many of them. And then they started moving more blatantly, where I knew it wasn't the blood vessels in my eye. And then once I really realized what I was seeing, I allowed myself to really focus on what I think is a plasma kind of energy that is somewhere between our world and theirs. And they're not like heads and anything else. They're just circles. And they're not balls of light. They're clear like jellyfish. And they move all through the sky. And I've shown many, many people how to see them. It's you just relax your eyes. You look at the blue, not the clouds usually. And kind of like looking at those cards that you stare at the pattern and all of a sudden it's 3D. It's those same muscles you relax while looking at the sky. There's so much we can see right now. There's so much going on. And the space beings, as you call them, I think are really, really communicating. Those of us listening to the messages of the crop circles are really getting a lot of dire information, good and not so good. I look at them on an intuitive level. What does the picture say to me? What does it make me feel with my eyes closed? Everybody else has different methods. When I walk into a crop circle, people have magnetometers. People have dowsing rods. I use a pendulum. Everybody has their own little jewels and toys that they bring in. I just go into the center, lay down, and usually don't talk. And in this last week, there have been some of the most beautiful crop circles of the summer. And if people want to see the stories and the real croppies that are in the fields, my movies are at pattygreer.com, PattyGreer.com. And all the crop circles that have happened this summer, you can see every day the photos of them at silentcircle.uk or Google Silent Circle, which is the center of crop circle researchers. They post fresh pictures every day for free. You can see the amazing crop circles that have happened this summer. 40 or 50, I've lost count. But that's just in England alone. They've been in Indonesia, began the year, Mexico, France, Italy, Croatia. I mean, there's crop circles seen in so many places. And you can imagine how many are being placed in the fields that maybe nobody's flying over to even recognize and document.
Yes, it's a wonderful way of communicating. But do you think the press is biased against it, or are they in fact told by certain authorities above them that they shouldn't give it a good press?
I think both are true. I think there's nothing but misinformation, and I think it's done a really complete job on the public, because the majority of the people I meet, unless they're in an area of really conscious people, but the majority of the people I meet on the street have a vague clue about crop circles, and all they remember is, wasn't that made by a couple of old guys? It's like, So the general consensus, although there have been astounding crop circles throughout the last 30 years that have been spread their photos of them across the world press, within a couple of days, they were debunked and misqualified, and they went away. But let's talk about a few of the most, I think, the most telling ones of all time. In 2009, we had six or eight bird formations. Now, rarely are the crop circles some vague image. Most of the time you can look at it and have a feeling of what they're saying on a general basis. But rarely do they do like a whole bunch of animals. This particular summer they did many birds and many fish.
Yes.
And the fish were swirling in circles The fish were large octopus and squid, very, very strange sea creatures. They had one of the oldest sea creatures. They had one of the oldest insects. The dragonfly, with the veins and the wings that you could see in a crop circle. I mean, really, really detailed work in a field of wheat or barley done in 2 or 3 hours of darkness in the middle of the night. Some of the ones, such as the one that came down and was documented today, you can find it at silentcircle.uk or cropcircleconnector.com. Either of those sites will show you all the crop circles happening each and every day. Mm. My website has movies that take you there. If you can't get over to England, you'll feel like you're there because I do the slow interviews with everybody that's there day after day in the field.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job there.
Pile of information that we are getting. So in 2009, we had the owl, the thunderbird, the phoenix, the sparrows, I mean, all these birds, and then we had all these fish, and then we had all these ancient creatures, and then months later, the BP disaster happened.
Strange.
My first thought was, oh, my God, not again. My second thought was, those crop circles, that's what they were talking about. So it was an unprecedented direction toward birds and fish, which is, maybe coincidentally, maybe not, what we lost many, many, many of.
So, do you remember?
Further back, 2002, we had those double formations in Chilbolton. Do you remember the alien face and the disc?
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I think that was the creepiest. Yes. And even though it's creepy, I tell the story of it and show it in movie 1 and movie 4 because it really made a statement that I think really did come from higher dimensional beings. Mm. What this was two formations that were connected. One was an alien face that looked similar to that of a gray, and in its neck was squeezed a perfect circle with really detailed binary code, which was deciphered by Paul Vigay as an ASCII code, and he gave it to the world as a message that went like this. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Yes. Well, in fact, it's, it's funny you're talking about the face itself because looking at the copy I have, if I just slightly squint my eyes, I must say it looks more to me human because it appears to have lips rather than a slip for a mouth and seems to have nostrils, although the whole picture is made up of little tiny squares anyway, so maybe that's misleading. But it's certainly a human or humanoid face without a doubt.
Well, I think that the mix-up that we're discussing is probably part of their plan that to some it looks like an ET, to some it looks like a human. And back and forth, therein lies that confusion of who's the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises? Everybody's confused. But what we're seeing now, so not only did this come down in a field, but it came down in a field that was surrounded by telecommunication towers. So in my opinion, it would seem that not only did they want to give the message to those who flew over, documented it, shared it with their friends or the world in a movie, but also that it was right near a line of telecommunication towers so that more people, many more people, would have access to possibly hearing about it if the world were ready to discuss it. Yes. So, yes, I think the press has done really an unfortunate job suppressing the great wisdom that's being offered to us at this time. And fortunately, I trust that more than 51% of the world has become conscious. And as we're moving toward 2012, there are more and more of us getting on the horse and galloping off with our life savings intact, with our health still, and not counting on those that really don't have us in their best interest. The bearers of false gifts and their broken promises has been, I think, one of the most astounding times right now in history. Hello, look at my country. I'm not proud. And but we can't even agree between our parties unless that's just a dance. But I'm not proud of anything that I'm reading about my country right now, because we have people that are really behaving badly. I personally am dealing with two things that I don't want to complain on the radio because I'm almost on the other side, but what I want to do is tell the people quickly my personal experiences in the last year with the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises, because I found the solution, but it took me many, many years, and I think I can save people a lot of time and possibly their life savings if it's appropriate. What I just learned is that I went to get out of the stock market in 2008, and I had the same broker for 20-something years, and for some reason, he didn't follow my orders for 16 days, and I lost a fortune. Every single day I called, I've got the phone records, but what I've learned is that there's only one organization that I can arbitrate with, and that's in my contract. And it's in most people's contracts in America that they can only arbitrate with one organization. And I went and I Googled that organization, my bank, and the word fraud, and it was so many pages. And what I learned is that they work together, and the investor doesn't have a chance unless the investor gets out before the next time the market completely collapses, which is what happened in 2008.
Yes.
When it collapsed, they didn't have to follow the rules because I had signed a contract. So I'm just going to put this out. If anybody has to arbitrate with only one organization, be warned. You will not win, is what I just learned from my lawyer. I have a whole beautiful thing, beautiful case, but what I learned was it doesn't matter. They don't care. The investor is now officially SOL if you have to arbitrate. So I think I knew that it was in my best interest to get out quickly, but my broker didn't do it for me. So what I learned is that I didn't record my phone call. I didn't record my phone call is the only reason that I could have any problem whatsoever. But who would think to do that? So the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises, there is such a crew of hoodlums right now. And because the regulators are the regulated, those of us that are really doing honest and good work on the planet don't have a chance unless we walk away from the system.
Right.
So I'm doing this show from my backyard where I have chipmunks and deer and wildflowers. Mm. I have walked away really far from the system. And I'm doing the last of it now. But what I learned about these organizations was really, really shocking. Short of that, I think that what my movies say is, I have a movie called 2012. We're already in it. I have Patricia Corey is brilliant.
And oh, yeah.
You know Patricia Corey.
Yes, she's been a guest of mine. Yes, very nice. Very well informed.
Well, I interviewed Patricia in the Crop Circles and Ian Crane at the Glastonbury Abbey. I interviewed, I thought, the most brilliant people I've ever met. But there was one rule that was, you have to give it to me positive or you're out in the edit. How we all need to really take everything we know and really make ourselves choose to be positive every day.
Yeah.
Because that's all we got. So Patricia Corey made, I think, one of my favorite statements in the movie, which is after going through what we're dealing with right now, she says, yeah, we're in martial law, but look at this day. Look at this glorious day. What are you going to do with it? I think that's my motto every day, you know?
Yes. Patty, how about the Chill Bolton Observatory crop circle? Because not so much the face, but the transmission that came along with it, matched almost section to section of the schematic transmission sent out in 1974 from the Arecibo radio telescope. Now, you couldn't look at the two without realizing that the transmission that was in the field next to the face was clearly in response to that one sent out in 1974. So doesn't it make you wonder why they attempt through means like SETI to say they're trying to contact ETs, and here you have one that's actually replied?
Yes, and it was long before they had expected it. When that crop circle arrived, it was, I think it was 8 miles from the other one we spoke about, the other Chilbolton formation. They were both in Chilbolton. They were 8.5 miles apart, and both of them, no coincidence, landed in fields where there were numerous telecommunication towers. So it was a message reply, yes, from the Arecibo Tower in Puerto Rico in 1974. Stunning that it was returned back so quickly. And the changes, when you first look at it, you'd say, oh, same picture, until you look closely. And the message returned to us had larger heads, smaller bodies. And they had added the element of silicon to their... we had listed our elements on Earth, and they added that one. And they had vast... they had so many things that were so similar, but the changes were clearly present that they were really trying to communicate about them. And again, it was debunked a few days or weeks later, and it disappeared. But these are outstanding crop circles. And I believe that they are really giving people information that is not to be overlooked. The crop circles that I've been in, out of 100, I would say 60 to 70% of them were exceptional on the inside. And when I say exceptional, I mean it was almost like perfect walls of wheat, and then it was swirled down all at the same time. The ones made by people have broken wheat, and you can tell where the boards and planks go bang, bang, bang on the wheat. There's broken, broken, broken chunks. The ones that you can walk into and feel your body light up, feel the hair stand up on the top of your head. You know, once you've had that happen, the debunkers are kind of boring because it's like, go talk amongst yourselves. I'm not interested. I know differently. But I don't think that it means anybody else has to believe my experience. I just know that I'm not going to change my opinion and think that crop circles are all made by humans because I know differently.
Now, Patty, sort of got to jog your memory here because it's probably much better than mine because I've been doing a little bit of revision. But do you recall the crop circle in 2007, I think, in a wheat field at Silbury Hill, and it seemed to be three-dimensional, and you could look at it one way, and it looked like a passageway leading right to the center of the circle. You know how, as things move away from you, yeah, like a doorway. So that was fantastic. And somebody said they thought it represented a passageway through the physical world to the divine world. And I think that's as good as interpretation as anybody's. I mean, did you actually see that one?
I was there that summer. And I was going in all the crop circles. The farmer warned people to stay off his land, and then he mowed it. He mowed it the very next day. The first day discovered, the next day it was gone.
Oh, what a shame.
So it was this unbelievable doorway. I flew in the little planes with my camera every few days, and I missed that day. You can't fly every day, or I didn't fly every day. But that one came down between the days I was flying, and it was so gorgeous. And interestingly enough, there was a stellar crop circle this week, and the farmer mowed it. So the farmers are doing this strange revenge now, and I don't know who is instigating it, but last year when I was there, the circle makers the crop circles were happening further outside of Wiltshire, which was really unusual. It's the first year there weren't a lot there, and they were like 30 miles, 50 miles away. And we learned that the farmers had paid a security crew to drive all night long and circle the Avebury area and where their farms were, to make sure that there were no human circle makers out there with their lights and their cars and their, making crop circles in their land, because they don't want people on the land. Number one, the tour groups come and they march down the guy's wheat. And, a lot of people don't know the etiquette of walking just in the tram lines, so they're marching down some of his wheat. And that's a problem for the farmers. They lose money. So they have this, of course, automatic feeling that they don't want a lot of people tromping through their fields. So for a lot of the farmers, most of them, it is not a gift to get a crop circle.
Right.
Those crop circles, those farmers who are spiritual people, and I haven't met many yet, would seem to be grateful, but I actually haven't met any farmers that were like, oh, I feel so lucky. No, generally they don't.
Right, I'd like to mention another three-dimensional crop circle, which occurred in Ashbury in Oxfordshire. Unfortunately, I don't know the year, but you might recognise this one. As you look down at the circle, it appeared that on all sides there were almost like skyscrapers reaching up at you, and they all had flat tops. Do you happen to recognise the one I'm referring to?
Yes, 2010. I called it the Cube. But I can see it looking like skyscrapers. I was in that one, and I met Stephen Greer. And because we have the same last name, he had his group, and they were passing crystals, and I walked into his area, and I recognized him, and he looked at me, and I said, Stephen Greer? And he said, yes. I said, Patty Greer? And he threw his arms up, and we hugged, and it was like we finally met in that crop circle, the Cube. The 3D nature is so fascinating because there were a few of them last summer that were 3D. Now, when you're on the ground and you're in them trying to figure out what is the pattern, why is the wheat going left in this little area and right in the other one, and then you fly over and you shoot it, you get photos of it, images show that they intentionally laid the wheat differently for shading. And when we get closer, some of the more meticulous crop circle researchers, I spent a lot of time with Janet Osebard from the Netherlands in the beginning, and she and I would bend down and look at the walkways between, when you're in a crop circle, it is this huge thing. They can be like 60, 80 feet in diameter, and you think it's the whole world of the crop circle. And then there's this little walkway, and it goes to another huge circle, and a little walkway. And these things can go on and on and on, circle after circle. You don't know the pattern when you're walking in it. You're entranced. You're astounded because it's so beautifully laid. And typically in the center of each crop circle, there is a beautiful centerpiece. Sometimes they're braided or twisted. In 2010, my favorite crop circle I ever saw was right near the B&B we were staying at. And the center of each crop circle had like Indian teepee towns.
Mm-hmm.
Now you tell me who's going to do that in 3 hours of night. There were probably 30 Indian teepee towns. That's what they looked like. The wheat was folded over, braided, like little houses.
Yes.
It was so great. It was my favorite crop circle ever. And I have pictures of it on my website. Yeah, that was... I mean, I look at that and I just say thank you. And I hear the little arguments over there. That's not real. What do you mean? It's, you know, whatever. For me, I just feel so blessed to be taking the time to do things that make me feel good, like look at images of the crop circles, let alone go in them.
Right.
I think they're one of the greatest gifts the ETs have given us, you know, because all humans can physically see them. It's just the unwillingness of so many to not be able to get access to them. But everything now is accessible on the Internet, everything.
And all right,
if
Patty.
Google crop circles, you'll see tons.
Right. There was a crop circle. I don't know whether it was actually in 2005, but around that time. That really intrigues me. It's the most intricate one, yet beautifully laid out. That was the one called the Barley Mow near Silbury Hill. Do you recall that one?
Was it like a braided weave circle?
Didn't quite catch what you said there. Your tone broke up there. There's the circle, then a plain rim, if I can describe it as such. Then there's two more smaller circles within the circle, which have designs repeated all the way around. There's like some squares, some broken designs. But in the middle, there is something that you could almost think is like the wing of a bird. And then on the opposite side, it's reversed. So they're facing one another. But the whole thing...
Yeah,
it's really striking.
The swallows in 2008, and trailing out of their wings is an ancient language. Doesn't it look like an ancient language and you can't really decipher it?
Yes, I'd say it looks sort of Aztec or something from that period, I would guess.
I think I know, if that's the one you're talking about, that was what it was to me, but again, everybody sees them differently. In 2010, there were two that had the ancient language that hadn't been seen in hundreds, maybe thousands of years. I'm not specific with the actual date, but I know that they were completely astounded that those languages came out in two crop circles in 2010. And one of them was 1,500 feet long.
Astonishing.
Amazing. It's on the back side of my movie box. I can't even believe that they lay down messages this meticulous. Some of them in 2010 were like little teeny hairlines creating the inside of a galaxy pattern. And when you're in wheat, I mean, how do they do that? I don't believe that all of them, I think that many of them are really divinely orchestrated. So a wonderful thing, another way to tell the ones that are divinely done, is when you look where the wheat bends at a 90-degree angle. The ones that have been boarded are broken, and they're broken next to the one next to the one. They're all broken. Mm. But these ones in the real crop circles, the node, like you said, microwave maybe, something heats it from the inside and pops a bubble. It doesn't pop open, though. It makes a bubble in the straight stem of the wheat, and this big round bubble bends at a 90-degree angle next to 10,000 of its friends, in perfect divine order, swirling down in the same moment because they lay perfectly. So something is going on that is blowing a bubble. And then when Janet Osebard and I were looking on our knees at the walkways between one circle to the next, we started digging carefully through the layering of the way the wheat was laid between the circles. And we found that there was actually an intentional crisscrossing and going left, left, or right, right, like there was additional messaging within the layering of the wheat if you were willing to take your time to consider that. You know, all of this is just perception and people's ideas of what might be real for them. We don't know what's real anywhere anyway, do we?
No.
So,
right.
How much time do we have left?
Well, we've got about 8 minutes, I would say. So let me ask you one question about a particular crop circle and make my own observation. And then maybe since I promised our listeners that you would briefly tell them about how you came to get those burns that you were trying to get healing for, due to some problem with mercury, so you can sort of get that in. But the crop circle I want to refer to, I don't know that it actually has a name, but it was one near Winchester. It may have been in 2005, and it looks like a depiction within the centre of the circle of the Earth, with no markings on it, but at six different points it has like cones on it. And I cannot help but think, because four of them are equidistant, as you might say, around the equator, and the other two appear at the poles, I just wondered whether they were meant to indicate that there were vortexes there. But does that ring a bell with you, that one?
You know, I think it was a message for you, because I'm not sure. If you had sent me a photo in advance, I'd know the exact one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I think that each of us gets to see the right crop circles for what we need at this time. You know, they're affecting us on a subconscious level, giving us wisdom that is something we need. You know, things that we're not going to be taught as humans, we're going to be getting on a subconscious level from our spirit guides, from our friends, from the animals out on the planet. Our little furry friends that are the fairies and the elves and the elementals are speaking to us all the time, but only when we stop, look, and listen do we get the wisdom. So I think that's the most important thing. What stopped my life, and I don't want to end on this note, but I think it's a note that might help a lot of people. What stopped my life and took me to the crop circles for a health reason was that I was a harpist my whole life. I played piano since I was six. I took up harp in college, played for 30 years, and all of a sudden, 7 years ago, my fingertips started tearing open, and it hasn't gone away. It's finally getting a little better now, but for 7 years, I've had shredded fingertips. Now, wow. I was playing for the homeless shelter. I was playing for spiritual masters. When I go into the karmic reasons, I'm like, what? Why my fingertips? But it needed, my attention was being demanded. And it took me 7 years and six tests to get to the truth, which was, all these years, I've been dealing with mercury poisoning from my fillings. And I had an intuitive knowing that that's what it was. Therefore, I was tested six times, four times by my own doctor, and twice at two different allergy clinics for mercury poisoning. And every time, they sent me home and said, nope, no mercury, go back to sleep. So it wasn't until 7 months ago that I said, I'm going nuts without my hands. I mean, my hands are like in gloves and Band-Aids. It's not nice. So I've lived like this forever. It hurts. I'm sick of it. I want my hands back. I just went to a dentist who is a conscious dentist, and there is a difference, and had all the mercury pulled out of my teeth and had everything refilled. And when I got to a conscious dentist, she told me that, unfortunately, we are being given the wrong test in our country for mercury poisoning. The difference is, and this is what I want your audience to know more than anything, for some reason, in America, we're being tested for organic mercury, which is only fish, sushi, environmental, toxic mercury, and that. Having nothing to do with mercury in your teeth, you will not see it show up on a mercury test, which everybody gives and our insurance companies cover it. The test they don't cover is for inorganic mercury, which only is for silver filling. When you put silver fillings in your mouth, they say silver, but it's actually 50% mercury, 25% silver, and the other 25 is tin and copper and wonderful things like that that should never be in a human body. So because of whatever reasons the money is behind the wrong people, the truth is very much like the UFO community, another unfortunate cover-up of what the people should be getting to know, which is mercury in our teeth is extremely poisonous. Some people go their whole life and are not affected. Unfortunately, I am allergic, hypersensitive, which is another blood test called Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-A. People can find the truth of why they can't get well. If people are going around with fibromyalgia, ALS, all kinds of diseases, they have dissected, I'm sorry to say, the corpses of people that have died of particular diseases and found heavy levels of mercury in their brain, heart, organs, people that had a large number of mercury fillings in their teeth. So with all due respect to the world, I don't care what the AMA or the ADA or the FDA has to say about it. I care about helping people in the world get to what's going to help us heal. We have not been given the truth about mercury poisoning from amalgam fillings, and the truth is, the test you want is for inorganic mercury. And in America, we have one company I know does it. They are called Quicksilver Scientific. After six tests where I was told I had no mercury in my body, I finally gave blood, hair, urine, fingernails to Quicksilver Scientific, and I found out that I'm in the top 5% of worst cases they've ever seen. So that was not the best news on most counts, because, oh, crap, I'm totally mercury toxic. But, oh, good, that's why my hands won't heal. That's why 15 doctors all said to me, I've done everything I can, but something inside you is trying to come out your body. You have something toxic inside you, and I kept going, mercury. Well, there's a video that anybody can see for free on YouTube called The Smoking Tooth that shows the world that mercury vapor comes off our teeth. If we have a amalgam filling, mercury vapor comes off our teeth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it never stops vaporizing into our mouth, going into our lungs. And so I've had 7 years of careless dentistry in my mouth. And now that it's removed, I'm on a really expensive detox, but $12,000, $13,000 later, I'm going to have my hands back. Nobody should have to go through this. Nobody should have the wrong blood test. Nobody should be lied to about mercury poisoning. The truth is, it is not good for us. I'm not an expert, so please don't call me or write me about expert advice. I will say the experts are, if people have a pen and paper, two organizations in America. One is called DAMS, and they know everything, DAMS. The other one is IAOMT. I'm not talking about it to get even because I don't care about them. I care about us, the people that don't deserve to be kept sick for their entire lives because they aren't reading the truth of what's going on in their mouths. This stuff is not good for us, and many people, like I said, are not allergic, not sensitive. Maybe they'll get by, but if they didn't have mercury in their mouth, exposing them to mercury vapors 24 hours a day, they may possibly have had a much healthier life. So, that's what I wanted to say is I'm really letting people know, take care of yourselves. We're in a time where we can choose to have fabulous days every day by choosing it. And really be conscious of letting go of all those things, all those systems that just are never going to work again.
Right, Patty, all by about a minute, your time is up, I'm afraid to say. We could have gone on, I think, for perhaps another hour. But it's very interesting speaking to someone with first-hand experience of the crop circles. And it's such a big subject, you can only really scratch the top, I think, in an hour. Now, I think it might be worthwhile, before you disappear, confirming your website again and just telling us, are your books available direct from you?
I don't have books. I only have movies. And I have four movies. Yes, right. Movies only. And they, the awards I won are for Best Feature Film, UFO or Related, at the International UFO Conference, my very favorite award. And I won it 2 years in a row for my recent two movies. My first movies, I just didn't enter in film festivals. The recent two I have, and I won six awards. And I think what I'm hearing a lot is that people can tell that the movies are made by a woman. I am not mathematical, scientific. The movies really take you there. You feel like you're in the field. People really get to be passionate. And it's not any BSers. There's no makeup, no hairdos, no scripts. It is live in the field, in the moment, in the crop circles with some of the most brilliant people I have ever met in my life. So my website
Patty.
Is http://www.patty.greer.
Right, that's great. I'll have to stop you there because I've got about a minute left to announce my guests for next week. But thank you very much for coming onto the program, Patty. It's been wonderful to speak with you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Right, next week, friends, I've got Keith Blanchard. He's had a lot of profound experiences in his life. He's been in touch with UFOs, had alien encounters, angelic apparitions. He went to India to seek out a holy man and experience his divinity. So he has got a lot to talk about. He is, in fact, an author. He also has made music albums and a movie. So we have yet again another very interesting guest coming up. So thank you for being with me and Patty Greer today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.